Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Jay Harwood for the special edition of Amazing Conversation with Seth Greenberg. Before I tell you why I'm talking to Seth, let me just tell you some of Seth's qualifications. 35 years a head coach, Long Beach State, South Florida, Virginia Tech, close to 400 wins. One of the top analysts on ESPN, basketball, College Game Day, studio host with Jay on College Game with Jay Billis and Reese Davis. But the reason that Seth Greenberg and I are talking, our roots really started together. About 50 years ago, I was a young SID at Fairleigh Dickinson, and Seth was a star recruit for Plainview High School. And both of us this spring got a lot of satisfaction when our Knights, number 16, upset number one Purdue. What was it like for you, Seth, that day?
Well, first of all, Jay, I really do appreciate you. I mean, obviously, you were a young SID at Fairleigh Dickinson. I was a very young player at Fairleigh Dickinson, playing for a very demanding coach. And you helped me kind of navigate those 4 years. And they were great 4 years that we had a chance to share together and a lot of really fond memories. But I was in the studio. We were, you know, the one thing about the NCAA tournament is obviously we don't have it, but we do report on it. And so, obviously, Fairleigh's playing that game, and we're sitting in the cafeteria. There's a private area where there's a bunch of TVs. And, you know, the game's a close game, and, you know, I mean, like, I'm jabbing everyone in the room and everything. And then all of a sudden, I kept on saying that these guys have a junkyard dog mentality. Like, they don't really care who they're playing against. I said, they're just going to go out and play, and if they can basically become St. Peter's and impose their identity on the game, I said, this thing could get interesting. And that's exactly what had happened. And it was fun. That whole week was fun. Sending video messages to Tobin and the team. I've gotten fairly close to that team. I had a chance to speak to them at Tobin's tip-off dinner. And then I followed up and had a couple of interactions with a number of the players and a couple of interactions with him almost every other week. And it was fun just to see how hard they played, how much trust they had, how much passion he had for being at Fairleigh Dickinson. And it gave me a little bragging rights. So it was a great week. I kind of gave Billis and everyone else in the room a good hard time. And I basically said, Harvard on a Hackensack. You never underestimate Harvard on a Hackensack.
You know, Seth, I haven't forgotten my roots. You haven't forgotten your roots. And even though I've been, you know, I left the FDU in 1980. So that's what, 20, almost 40 years ago. I still got a sense of pride. You know, we played in a small gym in Rutherford, you know, and it's a sense to get after you on the map. It was great. You haven't forgotten your roots. You know, my favorite Seth Greenberg story, I don't know if you remember. Do you remember when we played in Texas?
Yeah. Go ahead with your favorite story. I'll give you mine.
we were in Texas, right?
Yeah, I was there in the Texas trip. Yep, in the old
so game. I got in trouble with the official score. I made all of our guys Southern. Do we have a guy on the team named Goldstein? I forget, but I remember starting at guard for Fairleigh Dickinson, Seth Bob Greenberg. I did that like three times before the guy said, "What the hell is going on here?" But that was Coach Adelbauer's philosophy. We play the games away, get in return. Unfortunately, you know, coach left. Ross Maceda came after. That was fun. What's your favorite story?
You know, I have so many fond memories. I mean, obviously, the gym in Rutherford was so unique with the stage and you know, playing right against my brother there at Fairleigh Dickinson and at American University was obviously a really good memory. I made a couple of free throws at the end of that game. That was pretty positive. But my favorite memory is that Georgia win. When we went down to Georgia and found a way to beat Jack Dorsey. I remember Coach DeVoe was actually at that game. He was at Tennessee at the time, scouting it for Tennessee, which was really big for Coach Lababo because obviously they were on the same staff at Army. So I remember taking a charge on Jack Dorsey in that game. Probably not the brightest thing I've ever done in my life. And I remember Coach coming out, and as Jay Jorgensen would say, and Coach was like, he wasn't really concerned about my health at that point. He was just excited I took a charge. And like, he kept on grabbing my jersey and like telling me, you know, way to step in there. And Jay Jorgensen, my college roommate, said, funniest thing in the world was your head was bouncing off the ground. Like every time Coach picked you up to lay you down. But, you know, we had a lot of fond memories. I mean, you know, we didn't win a ton of games. We were everyone's game in between league play, played a great schedule. But, you know, the cool thing about that, Jay, is, you know, my class, led by Jay Jorgensen, we started a foundation called Teammates for Life.
That's great. Yeah, I'm a part of that.
Yeah, which we raise money for people that are going through difficult times or helping pay for funerals of some of our former teams. So we reach out throughout the state of Connecticut and even outside of there. I mean, in New Jersey. And, you know, to me, 43 years later, I graduated Fairleigh Dickinson basically 42, 43 years ago. And we still have that connection. I spoke to Steve Salop the other day. He's actually made a drawing for my daughter's wedding in September. So, you know, the big thing, and I always used to say when I was coaching, when you go to, you know, college, those memories and those relationships last your lifetime. And I can honestly say my relationship with Fairleigh Dickinson and my relationship with my teammates has lasted me a lifetime.
And you got me on an email chain with those guys. Speaking of Georgia win, probably one of the saddest days of my career at Fairleigh Dickinson was the day that Noki Johnson was killed in a car crash. I remember that he's sitting in a hospital. I think I sat next to you. I was on Route 17 going from Rutherford to Teaneck, and it was George Lighty and Red Duck, when I remember to this day. Yeah. I mean, and Noki was a hell of a player.
He was a great player. Yeah. He was a step above Fairleigh Dickinson. He had a big physical body. He could get the ball anywhere he wanted, anytime he wanted. He played with no fear and great confidence. And, you know, it's funny. Yeah. You take certain things for granted. You know, we lived in Teaneck. We practiced and played in Rutherford. And we made that drive 80-17 every single day. And before that, we never even thought about the weather. We never thought about drive. We never thought about any of it. And that was a hard time. I mean, I remember vividly going to Coach's house myself and checking on him. And I remember Mrs. LaBaba, who was, you know, she took care of all of us. I mean, she obviously understood the situation better than anyone. And, I mean, as we called him, not to his face, the old man, I just remember how devastated he was. Like he was, I mean, it was hard to get a conversation out of him.
It was a tough. I remember we all waited in the hospital that night.
It was brutal. Balky was a great. He was a really, really good player. Good person. Yeah. Came right from Plainfield, and you know, it was a situation where it was just tragic. You know, George Lighty obviously survived, and Duck survived as well. But it was. That was a hard time playing. How you handled, Jay, and you know, again, how you handled the game after that game, I thought was incredible, and you know, it was hard for all of us. Yet you had to put all the pieces together to help us move forward, and you did a great job.
Well, it was a tough time. You know, Red Duck was my first All-American, Seth. First team all name team. We promoted you. And I don't think, I'm not making this up. His sister was Daisy Duck. He had a one year I got him on the cover of the press kit. You remember in Teaneck, there was a duck pond in the front of the little. So Red and I used to sit there. I would throw Wonder Bread at the ducks to gravitate towards Red. And the other guy I remember on the team was Flynn Oil Cook. Was the other forward. That was my first my first team. Let me cover events. What do you make of the Bronny James thing?
Man, it's scary. I had a player, Alan Shady, who played for me at Virginia Tech, actually never played, who went down in a very similar situation. And, you know, you're going to have to err on the side of caution. I don't know all the medical side of it. I know Alan Shady has actually started a foundation called Positive Adversity because it ended his career. You know, look, he's going to get the best medical attention and they're going to make the obviously the most educated decision on what he can do. I was a little bit shocked that they said, well, how quickly he got out of ICU, like all of a sudden it's disappeared. We saw Keontae Johnson go through that a couple of years ago playing in the Florida State game. Obviously, Alan Chaney went through that. I'm sure they will err on the side of caution and just make sure that, you know, most important thing is to have a long and productive life. And, you know, basketball becomes secondary. And but to me, it was shocking because the kid is in world-class shape, obviously. And it just shows, you know, life is fragile. You know, we all think life's easy, but life is fragile. I mean, there are certain things you can't control, so you better control what you can control. And
Seth, you might have left. Were you there when Harvey Johnson died on the court after, it might be the after a year or two after you?
I think it was after us. It was after.
Yeah, I was in the early 80s. I remember a big 6-foot-8 guy, yeah. And, you know, collapsing, you know, down the court. Transfer portal, what are your thoughts?
I think the transfer portal connected with NIL is absolutely toxic for the sport of college basketball. I think that the transfer portal now makes the current players that are playing free agents. You imagine Major League Baseball where you can be a free agent every year? It's impossible for continuity. And then if you add on top of that, obviously NIL, which I have no problem with NIL if it's real NIL. I do have a problem with what I call pay for play, which is the collectives. We've got to find a better system. We've got to find a better way to do this. And I actually think it's going to end up with contracts, Jay. I think that we're going to end up with 2-year contracts. So we end up with 2-year contracts, then all of a sudden what you're going to have is you're going to have a little bit more continuity. I think the university is going to have to figure out a way to fund it, obviously maybe through some fundraising. But, you know, we see what's happening with realignment. Look what's happening with the Big 12. The TV money is so great that schools are going to have to find new revenue streams to support their athletic departments. But the transfer portal has made every single player in college basketball a free agent. But the other side of it, Jay, is these young, talented high school kids are not being recruited in the same manner. And it's really a problem. And then we've got on top of that, we've got Overtime Elite, and we've got, you know, G League Ignite, and we've got all these different groups that in theory are good, but there's also going to be a lot of kids that are chasing a dream that will have nowhere to go back to. Like, you know, like we think, you know, you go play it overtime, you take the money, you do all that stuff. That sounds great. It sounds great until you're not an NBA player because it's the most exclusive club in the world. And then you're 23 years old, 24 years old with no education and nowhere to go back to help finish your education. So, I mean, there's a lot of issues in college athletics that I think needs to be visited. And I think we've got to find a better partnership with the NBA because our partnership with the NBA, in my opinion, is the NBA has an agenda, which they should, their shareholders. And I'm not sure we're working in conjunction with the game plan or vision of what college athletics is and for the masses, because every single college guy who plays college basketball thinks he's an NBA player. And we know, you know that's not
Amy,
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, when our coach LaBava went over to St. John's and Coach Luke Conseca, I became a surrogate St. John's fan. I used to go there a lot. And I got pretty close when Chris Mullen was the coach. You know, I was friendly with Chris and he left. And you know, Rick Pitino's just done a 100% makeover there. I mean, what have you followed about that? I mean, you know, it's going to be a different St. John's team next year.
Yeah, look, Rick is the perfect coach for St. John's. He is New York through and through. But more importantly, he's a world-class coach. What he does is he can take his team and beat you, and he can take your team and beat you.
Right.
He's just, you know, he's got an ability. I said this, I'm in Louisville, so obviously Rick's name's come up a lot. Rick walks into a room, and he doesn't have to say a word. He takes over the room. Very, you know, there are just certain people that have that ability. Besides that, he is as good a coach as there is ever been in this game. his passion, his
commitment. What makes him a good coach, Seth?
Excuse me?
What makes him a good coach?
He has the ability to connect with players. He has the ability to develop players. He has an understanding of how to put guys in position to play to their strengths. Coaching's really creating a system and putting guys in position to play to their strengths. Show people what they can do, as opposed to what they can't do. And then he's innovative, and he's got the ability to motivate. Now, look, he will coach you hard. And he coaches the same way now that he did, you know, when he took his first job at BU, or he was coaching the Knicks, or he was coaching Kentucky, or he was coaching winning championships at Louisville. He's a master teacher. He's addicted to the game of basketball and loves to be in the gym. And as a head coach, to love being in the gym and helping guys get better. He has that ability. He was one of the first to really get involved with individual player development, which has become a huge trend across the country, and he's probably as good as anyone at it.
Seth, how do you enjoy the game day thing, the traveling around? I mean, it's got to go to a different campus and the crowds, something you enjoy.
Yeah, you know, Jay, I tell people the great thing about ESPN just in general is I work with the greatest team that I've ever worked with, and I think that's the biggest thing. It's the people you work with. You know that. I mean, you're only as good as the people you work with, and the selfless people that I work with at ESPN, whether it's producers, directors, research people, all they want you to do is have a good show. I'm talking ball. I mean, I've talked ball my whole life. I mean, it's something I love doing. I'm so invested in the game. I didn't dream of becoming a TV guy, quote unquote. I'm going to start my 12th year. I wanted a coach. I chased them a dream there. Unfortunately, I got let go at Virginia Tech. I had a younger family. I wanted to obviously continue to help my family live, and I got this incredible, incredible opportunity, and I don't take it for granted. I'm really, really one of the more fortunate people to live the life I have. But game day's fun. It's fun. Like going out, you know, you go to Kentucky, you go to Kansas, you come here, you go, and you walk out on that, and you get that energy that you got with coaching. The only difference is, Jay, I don't impact anyone's life, and that's the thing I miss most.
I cry every time I hear Valvano's speech with Dick Vitale. You know, I first met Dick was coaching East Rutherford High School, so we go back a long way together. But what he's done for the V Foundation and the whole connection with Krzyzewski, I mean, it's still a remarkable speech. And money is still – how many years is it? 20-plus years? Well, he died in the early mid-90s, didn't he, Jimmy?
Yeah, it's more than that. I think it's the 25th year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Jimmy grew up in Seaford, Long Island, which is right by us. I mean, he recruited my brother Brad when he was an assistant in Connecticut. And my mom threw him out of the house. You'll get a kick out of this, Jay. I mean, he comes to recruit Brad. We went to the Nets Denver Nuggets championship game. Jimmy went with us because we had an extra ticket. So they moved the home visit at our house back. So we get to the house about 10 o'clock. He's rearranging furniture. He's telling stories at like 11:45. My mom goes upstairs. He's entertaining Brad and myself, and we're laughing and we're having a great time. At about 12:30, my mom peeks out from upstairs, goes, "Coach Valvano, you got to go. Brad's got the SATs tomorrow. All right, we need to get some rest." And she literally threw him out of the house.
But Ted, did you ever think, looking back from your Fairly days, that you'd be close to 400 wins as a head coach? I mean, you had a remarkable career at TV and the coaching run.
Yeah, you know what? As you know, Jay, that's what I always wanted to do. When I went to Fairleigh Dickinson, I didn't pick Fairleigh Dickinson because of the journalism program or communications program. I picked Fairleigh Dickinson because of Coach Lobato's reputation and I wanted to play for a coach where it could help me grow as a coach and make me a little bit different. So I always wanted a coach. I approached it that way. I mean, the highlights of my season sometimes were the coaches' clinics when Coach Snyder, Coach K would come in, and I'd get a chance to demonstrate. So that was my dream. I loved playing, but I approached it a little bit differently. And you remember, my senior year, I spent my last month and a half my senior year at Fordham with Tom Penders as a graduate assistant. And then I got the job at Columbia. So, I've been so fortunate. But, yeah, I mean, I've been lucky. I have a lot of friends that never had a chance to become a head coach. I had a chance to become a head coach at a young age at Long Beach State, at South Florida. And then, you know, you think about it, I've coached in the Big West. I've coached in Conference USA. I've coached in the Big East. And I've coached in the ACC. you know, been ACC Coach of the Year twice. I've been really, really just fortunate to have a lot of people in my life that have helped me, you being one of them, Coach Holland, and my time at University of Virginia being one of them, and so many others that built bridges for me to cross to have a chance to have a life. Now I've got a great agent. You met him the other day, Gideon Cohn, who...
yeah, he's a great guy.
He helped put me in a position to, you know, basically in a lot of ways, which I didn't realize at the time, audition at ESPN. So I've had a lot of great people in my life that have kind of helped build bridges for me to cross to help live the life I've lived. I've been really, really fortunate, and I don't take any of it for granted one day.
Is your preparation ongoing now for the season? When do you start going to full gear, or you do it continually, who the incoming freshman? How do you keep track of the transfer portal?
That's been hard. That's ongoing. That's just, because I think there's going to be more graduate transfers at the end of summer school, to be honest with you. Because if you graduate, there was a deadline for transfer portal unless you're a grad transfer. So, there are guys taking summer school classes that are getting eligible at their institution that are then going to transfer, come August, which makes it really hard on the coaches, for sure. I approach coach TV like I approach coaching. I put time in every single day. You are your habits. It's one of my favorite lines. You are your habits. And, you've got to work at it every day. Like, I was in Texas. I was in Lubbock, Texas last week calling the TBT. So I went over and I spent time with Grant McCaslin, the new coach at Texas Tech, and watched them practice. I'm here in Louisville. Yesterday morning, early in the morning, I went over and watched Louisville practice. I actually spoke to their team and spent time with Coach Payne. So when I get back from this trip, which will be beginning of August, I'll spend 3-4 hours every single day breaking down every single league. You got to know about 150 different teams, and you've got to know if you're good at this thing, you can't have your notes in front of you, Jay. You've got to process it. So I'm not the smartest guy in the world, so it takes me a little longer. So I'll go. I've already started. I do a handwritten book. I should do it on my laptop, on my iPad, but I don't. I do a handwritten book. I break down best backcourts, best frontcourts, best defensive backcourts, best offensive backcourts, best shooters, best playmakers. And then I go through every single league that has more than one potential team that makes the tournament, and I do a scouting report on them. No different than if I was coaching against them. I get out on Synergy, I watch tape, I read, and I'll have about 150 teams scouted by probably, my daughter's getting married September 30th, so but probably by the 1st of November, I'll have a full scouting report on pretty much anyone I'm going to see and have to talk about in the first month of the season.
I got to tell you, I know this is before your time. So my first day on the job at Fairleigh Dickinson, we're playing in Maine, Orono, Maine.
Oh, I remember that trip. No, I made that trip, Jay.
You did?
Planes, and automobiles. I made that trip.
Yeah. But this might have been, I started in
74.
So we're playing in Maine in a bandbox of a gym. I was keeping score. I copied the numbers down wrong in the scorebook. We started the game with two technical fouls. I think we wound up losing in overtime. And I remember Coach Lowe came to the bench and said to me, "Now I know why effing NYU dropped basketball, you dumb so-and-so." Luckily, my relationship got better with him. I remember on the road trips with Al, rest in peace, had the one long hair, used to comb it around like that. The old comb around here.
My freshman year, and I tell this story all the time. So my freshman year, there were 12 chairs lined up across the free throw line. My first practice, Fairleigh Dickinson. And, Coach Lababo, obviously, he taught in high school. He came over for practice, which is amazing in itself. And practice was start, I think, 2:30. At 2:30, no one's there. 2:35, no one's there. We're all sitting down. Dick Wiseman, the assistant coach, told us to sit down.
I remember Dick, yeah.
And coach comes in, and you're right. He had one strand of hair. He wrapped it around his head 1,000 times and put a whole can of hairspray on it. And every time he would scratch his head, the whole thing would go up and down, and we'd almost lose it. But I remember vividly. So he finally comes down from the stairs where his office was, and he starts walking in front of us, back and forth, back and forth. And like, I am about to, we had these white practice shorts and practice jerseys. I'm about to crap in my pants. I'm so nervous. And he goes, "Hey, I'm your coach, Al Lowe. I want you to like me, not to love me, because loving leads to screwing, and no one screws with Al Lababo." And I was like, holy moly, what have I gotten myself into? And then the only other time, Coach Lowe, he called me in my junior year. He called me into his office, and he'd do that every once in a while. Like on the road, he'd call me to his room, and I think he had a couple of bourbons in him, and he'd tell me what, you know, I'll tell you one thing. One day you're going to have a team, and he would go into some tirade, and I mean, he would be ripping my ass, McQuinsky's ass, Solop's ass, and everything, knowing that I was going to go back and say, the old man is pissed. holy crap, the old man. And I still remember walking up those stairs, and I thought, you know, everything was pretty good with everyone. I mean, like, we were doing what we were supposed to do and taking care of business. And I'm sitting down, he's sitting behind that desk, and, he's telling me, well, you know, someday you're going to have a team, and this, and you're going to have to learn this. And he's like, he was kind of serious. He goes, and I can't wait till you have your own team. And, you know, and sure enough, we're playing, I don't know, we beat someone, and I got a great phone call from him. I was at, I forgot who it was. I think it actually might have been the Louisville win here. But then we played, like 2 weeks later, we played really poorly. And we didn't defend worth a crap. And I get this call. And Jay, it was like, I was having flashbacks. I was nervous. You know, first of all, the phone rings, he goes, "Hey, it's Coach Lowe." And then you know how he calls sometimes and it was dead silence in like 20 seconds?
Yes.
Like he wanted to kind of sink in. Well, he let it sink in. And then he goes, "You guys don't guard worth a crap." And he laid into me like I was a player. Hey, so what I did was I called my assistants up. I said, "I just got ripped on my college coach because we're not guarding anyone."
That's funny. One story from me is in my 8 years there, we lost in 36 different states. 36. And I gave that note to Sports Illustrated, ran with it. And I got called into the president's office. "What are you doing, you schmuck?" And I thought it was, we did, you know, because the philosophy back then would be the first team on a schedule, get a good advance, and hopefully we get an arena. But it didn't work out till Al left. But I ended up, we played in Utah, Virginia, Florida, Georgia, Texas. And it was like 36 different states that we lost, you know. And I thought it was fun. Hey, Seth, it's great catching up with you. It was great. You know what I liked about meeting? We haven't forgotten our roots. You've had success in your thing. I did okay for me.
You're pretty good.
We still go back to our FDU team. And, you know, thank you. You got me on an email chain. I keep in touch with the guys, which I really appreciate. It's good to hear from guys you worked with 30, 40 years ago. And, you know, I see you and, you know, Jay Jordan doing great work with the Teamworks thing. And our dear friend Tom Barisi, who died a couple of years ago, we contribute to them. It's really good to do good stuff like that.
Jay, I'll tell you one thing. Just, you know, from us.
How do you contribute to team? Do you have it? I don't have it in front of me.
You can go to teammatesforlife.com. Teammatesforlife.com, and you can make a contribution, and all that money goes right out to young, to either former athletes or their families, to help alleviate some of the financial stress that maybe some people are going under And we've done a lot of good things, and Jay's done a terrific job.
Great job, yeah.
And Jason Judge. The last thing, we are all so proud of you and what you've done and your legacy and the impact you've had on so many people. And we talk, Jay, I'm telling you one thing. We talk about you almost every time we talk. And good things happen to good people. You were so good to us, and you're so good at your job.
Well, I enjoyed my time here at FDU. It was a good time. And the pros are great, but it's a certain thing, being in the college atmosphere, traveling, being the underdog every place you went, you know, and, you know, one last thing for me, we were playing a basketball game at Georgia Southern, and I got on the radio, and the guy said to me, "What is Fairleigh Dickinson?" He says, "Well, you know, Angie Dickinson, the TV actress, Fairleigh was her husband." I got another call from the school. I don't know how I made it through 8 years there, Seth. I really don't know. I said, you know, Fairleigh Dickinson married Angie Dickinson, you know, and, but it was fun. I really, you know, I enjoyed the college atmosphere, the campus life, the traveling, you know, the coach out was spirited. And I'm glad you helped me keep in contact with the guy. It means a lot.
Yeah, it's been great. And you saved me when I got let go of Tech, and you, David Wright called me, who was a big Hokie fan, and you guys had me out to the game with my daughter. That was a great part of our healing process. So thank you for that.
It wasn't a great PR move of being part of your own school the way you found out you were let go.
Yeah, I'm with you.
David Wright loves the Hokies. He is. But listen, stay in touch,
you
Seth,
got it,
and
man. I appreciate you.